Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the very first episode of Diesel and Clooney, where Jerry does the intro. Over to you, Chris.
Jerry, Okay, let's break this down.
I did it!
You did, Jerry.
Yes!
You did. I'm gonna go and you're right. For all intents and purposes and practicalities, you did do the intro. This is true. And I'll be honest, there was even a sense of their addressing, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls. So that was good. It's just
that, looking back on it, I worked on this for a while.
I can tell.
Children of all ages. Am I the first to say that? I feel like that's something people say. Do people say that?
I think people do say that.
That doesn't really work, does it? Like, you can't I don't know. Like, child at heart, I suppose.
Yeah. Children of all ages. And I'm guessing that's what they're referring to. I think it has its roots, Jerry, in the circus.
All right.
I think it has its roots in the circus.
So, like, everybody comes here to be a child, to feel like a child again.
And if this podcast isn't an auditory circus, I don't know what is.
Right. Welcome to the circus, everyone. Children of all ages. Wait. Copyright.
Oh, goodness.
We could totally get sued by Barnum and Bailey.
Ooh, thank goodness you stopped me there. thank goodness you stopped me there. Jerry, I'm excited. I'm excited for that intro and how quickly it got passed back to me.
That's right.
Well, we may as well get going, unless
I feel like we're introed. We're sufficiently introed.
So we can take this away. Unless you've got any objections, then
let's just get right to it. That's a terrible idea, actually.
Well, of course you do. You just never let me get away with anything, Jerry.
No.
You're always opposing me.
Basically, here's behind the scenes, everyone. This is what we do. We just bicker and fight and argue. We disagree.
So many disagreements. And you know what, Jerry? I feel like disagreements are not really that uncommon these days. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've borne witness to a disagreement.
I haven't been paying attention. I feel like everyone gets along.
Everyone just gets along now. But if you look below the surface, Jerry, scratch a little deeper, and I think you'll find a disagreement or two in our wide world these days. It's like we've had a lot going on, and that's been good tinder to light the fires of dissent.
Right, under some high-stress situations, disagreements are aplenty. Let's unpack that.
Let's unpack a disagreement, shall we? No, I don't want
to. Wait, you've started arguing with yourself. Just for the sake of the podcast, that's the lengths that Chris will go to.
Well, and it's probably, let's not kid ourselves, I probably argue with myself way more than I argue with anyone else. But I do think, my dear Jerry, that it's worth unpacking, because
it is worth unpacking.
My goodness, are there a lot of disagreements these days?
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Oh man, Jerry. So many reasons. But you know, I mean, they're the obvious reasons in that, a disagreement is two people basically at a fork in the road, each wanting to go a separate way. That's the basic example of disagreement. But I think we've gotten so much more complex. And I think culturally, we've got a lot going on right now that has really thrown influence on it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I talk about a lot, Jerry, and I'm going to bring it up again because, well, I talk about it a lot. And
so you might as well keep talking.
I'm going to prove that statement true. I got to keep talking about it, Jerry. Because I don't want to be called a liar. That would spark a disagreement.
Are we talking about MeUndies again?
Let's get back to MeUndies, Jerry. Let's let there be no disagreements about MeUndies. who still have not gotten back to us on whether or not they would like to be featured and be sponsored. Yeah, well, I don't know why MeUndies are so distant, Jerry.
We keep plugging them. I don't know. Regardless,
why are MeUndies so distant? I talk a lot about identity, Jerry.
Yeah, and you do.
Honestly, I think that there's a lot to do with identity when it comes to the amount and the vehemence of disagreements that we see lately. Because the truth of the matter, my dear Jerry, is that identity is very important to us.
It is.
And I think one of the things, and I read this somewhere from someone who is smart, who said that, one of the things that will make a disagreement spiral out of control quickly is when someone feels like their identity has been attacked. Yeah. That actually will react really strongly, really emotionally, and oftentimes very irrationally mm-hmm. when we feel that our identity is being attacked. And I think a lot of people, when they're having disagreements, heated or otherwise, mm-hmm. don't realize how easy it is to trip into what feels like an attack on someone's identity. And that does, that oftentimes spirals a disagreement way, way out of control, because right. you begin to lose sight and lose focus. So I feel like identity is more tightly related to the disagreements that we see around us, more tightly related than we probably realize. And so that might be worth, you know, a little sub unpack, if you will.
Sub unpacking.
A little unpack the unpackable inside this unpackaging.
Right.
So I do. Identity is a lot there, Jerry.
And I feel like that whole identity piece when it comes to a disagreement, societally, culturally, globally, maybe, we've gotten really good at making almost holding our identity out there as a shield so that it's the first thing that gets hit in a disagreement. Right. And when it's really not about our identity, it's not, no one's attacking who we are. Sometimes they're just sharing a point or a counterpoint, but it feels like they're attacking kind of the essence and the deep down nature of who we are as a person.
Yeah.
And then my response to that is, like you said, irrational. That's where we go into fight, flight, or freeze, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we fight, we get irrational. We start throwing out things to hurt instead of to have a discussion or have a conversation where we might resolve a disagreement, but we just want to hurt the other person because you just hurt me or I just felt hurt.
Yeah.
When we fly, we run away and we find other people who agree with us and
lock together.
We get stronger until we can come back and punch harder. Right.
That's true. It's very true. And I think this happens so much more subtly than people realize. I mean, I'll give you an example of how I've watched this take place and actually, you know, been able to unpack it. And genuinely, this wasn't me. We both know I'm very conflict averse. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I try very hard to avoid conflict, but it's stressful for me even to watch.
Right. I've seen that happen. You go British.
I really instantly. Do. Go very. People start arguing. Say, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, this isn't about you. Like, I know it's my fault entirely for intervening. I really shouldn't. I'm just a string of inconveniences roughly hewed together by apology. I'll just get on a plane, shall I? I'll just get on a plane. And that's how I travel, actually. Right. That's when I know it's time to fly is when I spark a disagreement.
Right.
But I did. I witnessed. It was a political disagreement. Two my friends were talking politics. And,
I haven't seen one of those yet.
I know.
I've heard they happen.
If you can imagine. If you can imagine politics being involved with this disagreement. Stretch your imagination, Jerry. And these two friends were arguing politics and policy. And one of them was making the point that in their opinion, we in the U.S., we need to reduce our welfare system. That basically mm-hmm. he was making the point that, you know, that's the cause of a lot of problems was our mm-hmm. welfare system. It just encourages people to be lazy. Yep. And that's all there's to. And he was bringing up data and points and everything. And what I watched and what gets interesting for me is that, you know, he was presenting his points very rationally. And this at this point was still a civil discussion. I wouldn't mm-hmm. even go so far as to say an argument. But the person that he was arguing with made a statement that I think registered as an attack on identity. And the person he was arguing with said, well, if you just weren't so selfish, you would understand mm-hmm. that some people, and I'm not sure he even heard much mm-hmm. beyond that.
Yeah, right, right.
It's just that suddenly he was called selfish. So someone equated his beliefs on the welfare system with selfishness.
Yeah.
And from then on, the Lights argument off. Took on yeah. a whole new mm-hmm. level. And I don't think the people who, the person who said that, I'm not sure he, I don't know that he even intentionally was making an identity attack. I think in his mind, he did equate it that way. He was like, right. well, and he just made assumptions. He thought, well, you don't care about poor people because you have money and you're selfish and you don't want to share it. Mm-hmm. So that basic, what started as a disagreement, and I think the complexities of a welfare system are beyond what we can really squeeze into an episode here, Jerry.
Yeah,
may not resolve that instantly. Exactly. Yeah. Might not unpack that. Mm-hmm. But I think what we can focus on is that a discussion that basically looks into going about, you know, managing finances and managing society and helping people and the best ways to help people, that it moved on from that discussion, because at its heart, it was the best ways to help people. I don't think either person was saying, let's just, you know, be mean to poor people. I think both were saying, we want to help. We just think it should be done in different ways. But that discussion couldn't happen anymore because the word selfish was thrown out,
right,
which attacked identity. And then that was it. It stopped being rational. And I think that happens so much more often than we think, that we actually... Right. Whether it's vaccines, whether it's politics, it's finance, whether it's, oh my gosh, any of the hot button issues, how often do they just devolve into an attack on personality? How often do we respond not so much out of fact anymore because suddenly we feel, well, they're insinuating that I'm heartless, or they're insinuating that I'm, and then it becomes an attack on identity. And we really do react strongly, emotionally, and irrationally when we think our identity is under attack.
Right. And that makes me think, I think sometimes we come to a disagreement, like a legitimate, you and I just see this from different perspectives, but we come preloaded with everyone else's disagreement, right? Like we've already, so we're going to talk about welfare, but in the last 2 years, I've been sitting scrolling through my social media accounts, and there have been so many memes about the welfare and socialism and all of the things that I came pre-packed to a conversation with an argument, right? Like, so even these hot button words that are argued about a lot, when you state them as, let's have a conversation about that, it feels like it's a fight word. Like it feels like we're going into a territory where there's no way to talk about this except for to throw down and, you know, throw our gloves off and start punching.
You get ramped up for it.
And quips and quotes and all of that, right? Like that's how we fight.
We do an odd amount of fighting with memes these days.
We really do.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like, you know, there are worse ways to fight. I would rather have, I would rather have a poignant meme thrown at me than a punch. But, but man, they can still smart. They can still smart.
Right.
Well, Jerry, what that makes me think of is the reality that sometimes I think the causality is actually even backward from what we think. You know, we just talked about how you start with a discussion, but then identity gets thrown in and then all bets are off. But I think sometimes actually we're using disagreements to build and reinforce identity. And I think this for several reasons.
You just went deep.
Yeah. I did, Jerry. Whew, mm-hmm. I put your bathing costume on. We're going in the deep end.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you wear? Is that a UK thing? Do you wear bathing costumes?
Yes. Or a swimsuit. There we go. Swimsuit.
I mean, but like a bathing costume is a real thing?
It is. That would be what we call a swimsuit in the UK. You would politely tell someone, should we go for a dip? Put your bathing costume on.
Okay.
That's what you do. And then you get in one of those old fashioned tents that we keep on the beaches that you saw in the 1920s.
Yep.
And you put your bathing costume on and it's got to cover your ankles. Mm-hmm. That's how things work to this
day. I feel like that in the US as well would count as a costume. If it goes down to your ankles, then you're dressing up as something.
That's wide words, Jerry. That's wise words. I feel like that's quotable. If it covers your ankles, you're dressing up as something. Ooh, nuggets. Nuggets of wisdom, Jerry. Nuggets of bathing costume wisdom.
Yep. Diesel and Clooney merch. Coming.
There you go.
Coming in late 2020.
Can you imagine our bathing costume merch? I think it would be fantastic.
Mm, oh, my. Yeah.
I think it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
It would be ankle length. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
All right, we'll put some ideas up.
That's perfect.
But yes, as far as, you know, being defined by covering your ankles and everything, that does actually relate back to, no, it doesn't in the slightest.
No, not
I was
going
to try to segue in. Try to get from ankles back, but I couldn't do it, Jerry. I couldn't do it. But I do, I think the reason that we sometimes use arguments almost, and maybe it's subconsciously, intentionally, and make them personal attacks and make that attack on identity, even though we know it's going to spark an emotional, irrational, it basically you cease being able to have normal conversation once identity gets attacked. But sometimes I feel like we almost do that on purpose because we're trying to define ourselves. Yeah. And one of the easiest ways to define who you are is to make a very clear barrier between who you are and who you're not. Mm-hmm. And so if I can spark an argument with you, I can draw a definite line in the sand and I can say, oh yeah, well you think we should this, but I think we should this. And then I've defined identity. Then I've got a clear set of markers that says, this is who I am. And so I feel like one of the things, and I wonder how much of this, if we look around, how much of the ardent arguments and the vicious meme flinging and all of that, I wonder how much of it is actually just a bit of a veiled attempt to give ourselves stronger definition as far as identity. Because I do think identity's under attack, Jerry. I think globalization has made identity difficult for everyone. And this is something we talk about with TCKs quite a bit, that there's some complexity there. But I do definitely also think, you know, we need to bear in mind that actually identity is now, it's a struggle for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And globalization and polarization operating in tandem at the same time, you know, happening in I think, you know, especially in Western cultures, and I've seen in some others, there's this demand that you identify yourself, right? And you need to declare, are you with me or against me? Are you on this side or that side? Declare that right now. And what that means is every piece of your identity then has to line up on this side of that, right? Like when polarization is at work, for example, left or right, right? Like you're, in this country, it's, are you Democrat, Republican? Are you conservative? Are you liberal? Are you like, there's sides and conversations begin so often with that, like drawing the line in the sand and saying, all right, which one are you? And if you are this, then you got to be all this. You got to be you got to be this on all the issues.
There's no room for subtlety. Really,
there's no room for subtlety. There's no room for nuance. And I would argue that there's less room for identity. There's less room for who you actually are and how you actually feel, what you actually believe, where you stand, because the mob says you need to be on one side or the other.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Whenever we talk about personality tests, one of the things, and there are so many out there, Jerry, so many. And I like a lot of them. I do. I mean, there's Myers-Briggs and there's, what is it, DISC? Right. There's the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. My wife and I talk a lot about Enneagram. And all of these are the personality typing tests. And one of the things that I personally feel and that I've heard from a lot of people is how they're like, I don't put too much stock in those because you know, you don't want to be typecast. You don't, you know, no test can, no, four letters can't really define all that you are, you know, a number between 1 and 9. How can that possibly define all that you are? And I'm not sure those personality tests, that's their point. In fact, the way I think of them is more like color. I mean, color is a spectrum, you know, and we just named points along it that we all agree on. So there's red and orange and yellow, but there's a ton, I mean, an infinite amount, if you really want to get nitpicky, I guess, or maybe finite on wavelengths. I don't know. A lot. There's a lot that goes on between red and orange. And that's all there is to it.
So,
there you go. It's a busy place. I mean, don't get me started between green and blue. Whew, that is a busy place.
Oh, my. Yep.
But we did. We picked some markers for language and ease of use. And it doesn't discount the fact that there's a ton of color in between that spectrum. And I feel personality tests are along the same thing. But relating back to kind of, I think, what you're getting at here, we do seem to really like to reduce people to easily predictable to sets. And so identity attacks and why they seem to be, you know, such a part now of disagreement it could well be, you know, just that we like to simultaneously and almost hypocritically oversimplify other people and say, well, you're orange, that's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't like that done to ourselves. We don't like to say, we like to say, well, I'm orange, but I'm actually pretty yellow tinged. Right. And we seem not to want to be pinned down, but I think we'd all be pretty amazed at how often we, for convenience sake, really just want to pin down other people. Right. And so, you know, yep. Personality test, political leaning, whatever it is, the reality is we are really, really nuanced. And I think with that, that's a good lead into another thought I had, where I think some of the reason, so identity, as we said, very tied in, I think, to disagreement. And I think attacks on identity, whether we're initiating those to define ourselves, right, or whether we're really trying to have a discussion, but identity gets thrown in and derails it. Along with that, I think is just one of the things that personality tests bring up is a difference in value systems. And this is one that I observe a lot. So again, I'm using uncharacteristically for someone who likes to avoid conflict. I've got some good real world examples of this, but I think about, you know, one of the arguments that I think is brought up a lot is about vaccines. A lot of arguments over the vaccine. I don't know if you noticed, Jerry.
Yeah, no,
I don't know if you noticed. But if you pay attention, you might hear it brought up.
Right.
But I think about what's at the heart of that. And I think you could look at it through an identity lens. But for me, actually, the easiest way to see that is that it's a difference in priority. And just two simple priorities, I think, in play here would be security and freedom. Now, right. I don't think anyone rational is going to say they don't value both security and freedom.
Right.
But if you mix those in any different amount, if you say that you would put 60% of your value in security and 40% in freedom, put that against someone who would say the opposite. They would put 60% freedom, 40% security. And I think that's gonna betray a massive difference in how you look at things like vaccines. I would say if you're very pro-vaccine and passionate about it, you probably do value security a bit more than freedom. And I would say, you know, if you're very anti-vaccine, that it may well be that you value freedom more than security. But and I need to say this very carefully because I can feel people emailing us right now. I can feel them emailing. I can feel the complaints, Jerry. I can feel them, and it's not a good feeling.
Come on, man. Let's go there. Ooh, let's just jump in. How do you feel about vaccines, Chris?
Can't handle it, Jerry.
Yeah.
But I do think no one is going to argue rationally that they don't value both freedom and security. I don't think anyone out there is saying, well, I'm pro-vaccination because who cares about freedom? All I want is security.
Right.
And I don't think anyone is out there on the other side that is like, no vaccines ever because I don't care about security. All I want is freedom. Mm-hmm. We all would value both. But the subtleties of where we prioritize those make a huge amount of difference. And this is one of the things I find fascinating about personalities. Even this idea that I avoid conflict, it's because I value peace very, very highly. It's not that I don't value other things. It's just that I value peace really highly. I value truth as well. It's just that I really, really value peace. So if I can find a way to present truth in a way that doesn't upset people, that's the dream.
Right.
And it's not that I don't value truth. I do. I want to speak truth. It's not that I don't value perfection. I want things to be right. It's not that I don't value all kinds of things. It's just that for me, peace is an interplay there. And everybody has these different mixes. And sometimes I think we need to take that in mind because sometimes I think the fights that I hear are trying to reduce things to all or nothing. It's trying to say, well, I'm pro-peace and so you're anti-peace. Or I'm pro-security, so you're anti-security. I don't know. That's I think there is more subtlety there. You know, it's so where we prioritize our values, that's huge.
Yeah, and it gets really messy when a large group of people values two things at a high level. So I would say that most of those people value security and freedom. Like it, probably one of their top five or two of their top five, right? Like it's that's important for all, which makes it that much easier to attack someone's identity because it feels personal. Because I can tell you,
absolutely.
Well, you don't value security. You're not valuing security, and you feel it. That stings a little bit.
Yeah,
and so what
think,
I fight back with,
that?
Yeah, and what I fight back with is, oh yeah, well you don't value freedom. And so something is wrong with you. And then this is something that really interests me, is that just the concept of logical fallacies, which if you ever study that, like it's fascinating. Ooh, how
tell
we
me,
win.
Tell me more, Jared.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's this series of weapons that we use to win an argument, all of which are complete fallacies. Like they don't actually, they're not valid. I've seen it come up in debate teams. And if you've ever watched a U.S. presidential debate, the whole thing is logical fallacies. Oh yeah, well you like to tear you down because you made a valid argument against me and say, yeah, well you do this too, is not a valid argument. Like that doesn't counteract the point that you just made. And so it's a logical fallacy. To compare you to someone else. Well, at least I'm not as bad as this person, you know. But those are the things that we're using to feign the appearance of resolving disagreements, right? Like that's what we're trying to do to each other. And really what we're trying to do is to win the fight. Like we're not trying to resolve the disagreement. If I can win the fight, then I win the disagreement. But that has nothing to do with whether you're right or not. It's just whether you came out on top of that. Were you stronger? Did you have a stronger logical fallacy than the other person? And wow. It is nearly impossible to get to the heart of what the disagreement is and find resolution. That's the beauty of disagreements, is that we've clearly touched on something that's a high value to both of us, right? Like this is clearly important. Otherwise, we wouldn't feel like this. There's probably some learning on both sides for each of us. Like we could probably learn more about it, but we've both decided that we already understand all we need to know. And so there's no place to know anything. So until you see it exactly like I do, you're wrong. And I will crush you with my fallacies.
well put, Jay. Well put. It makes me wonder, like, if we really took a step back from disagreements and their ensuing arguments, you know, what
you take a step back. I'm not.
You take a step back. Gosh, take a step back, Jerry. Step off. I always thought that was the greatest sort of
step off.
Because it sounds like an invitation to leave. And
yep.
That doesn't sound.
Can I go?
I know. Like I would love to. Because this, it seems like we're arguing, and I don't like it. So yes, I will step off. Apparently, doesn't mean that. But I wonder what success really looks like. Just because if the point of a disagreement, I mean, there are many outcomes. You know, if you are okay going into a disagreement and coming out still disagreeing, I think that's an acceptable thing. In fact, I almost think for me that that's one of the more successful likely outcomes, in that I've had disagreements with people over subjects near and dear to me that I've walked away from not changing my position, but upon reflection later on, if we had a disagreement well and it didn't get personal and no one's identity was attacked, and I felt like it was an encouraging, I'm telling you this because I'm passionate and I want you to know things maybe you don't know, that I've come away changing elements of my stance because I have learned, but I only can learn those things when my identity isn't attacked. And I think for me, that's some of the irony of the level of disagreement leading to argument we have now, is I think very few people have said that they've changed their stance on something because they've been pounded into the ground, decimated by a brutal attack, and left wounded and bleeding on the ground, and said, "Oh my gosh, never mind.
Thank you for explaining it to me that way. Yeah.
You beat the truth into me. Please tell me more. I don't think that happens very often.
No.
And so the way I see so many arguments now, and again, I think we're bringing this up because it's become so prevalent in the world today, is bitter, bitter, divisive arguments that I'm worried are not very fruitful. But that's just it, is I don't think many people change their stance through that level of brutality.
Right.
And so why has it gotten like this? And maybe it's because, again, maybe it's because we've forgotten. And maybe it's because actually our point isn't even really, if we're honest, isn't even to convince other people. Because if our point was, I want you to think about this the way I do and agree with me, there are way more convincing ways to do that. You know, it's right. That old saying, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Right. You know, I'm more likely to change my opinion if I'm invited in than if I'm beaten. And so maybe deep down, it really isn't about even changing other people's opinion. Maybe it is. Maybe we're all just feeling very vague in our identities. And so if we're honest deep down, we're almost enjoying the argument. We almost enjoy coming away going, you know, they're wrong. They're so wrong. Yeah. And they don't even see it. That actually, right. Maybe that's what people want, because then you've got a lovely, clear us and them barrier. You've got a, right. I'm right and in the know. And here's this clear line where you're wrong and you don't mm-hmm. know. And now I've been able to define myself. And that I don't think that's a healthy way to define yeah. ourselves, because you lose out on everything we just talked about, on yeah. the beauty of intricacies for our differing priority levels. You know, I yeah. think I've learned a lot from people who have different priorities than I do. Not that sure. we don't all value things, but we do them at different levels, and there's a lot to learn there. So right. maybe there's a lot to be said for, you know, what is your hope even going into a disagreement?
Right. I think you're really on to something with the tethering of disagreements to identity. Because when identity is so closely tied, when I feel like when you disagree with me, you're attacking my identity, then my goal becomes to validate my identity, right? My goal is not to get you to agree with me. It's not to, it maybe not even to win the argument, apart from the fact that that would validate my identity. That would make me mm-hmm. feel better about who I am. And so we're disagreeing in insecurity, and I'm scrambling to regain security. And yeah. so, yeah.
Well, and I want to throw out a moment of grace for everyone, just because I feel like a moment of grace, if you will. We had Amanda Bates on last week, and she talked about what was the umbrella of grace.
The mercy umbrella. Yeah,
the mercy umbrella, which I love so much. I really, yeah. Jerry. Next time I visit you, I want to know that there is an actual physical umbrella.
I'll have it ready.
To be painted. Yep. I don't know what color mercy is, but I want it to be mercy colored. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm going to take that out in public and just, you know, feign.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm basically just going to say whatever I want and then be like, sorry, mercy umbrella, mercy umbrella.
Mercy umbrella. Yeah. Let me know how that works.
Yeah. It's like those people who say something mean and then cover it up with a joke. Like, right. Nice haircut. I'm only kidding. And you're like, what?
Why?
They're using the joking umbrella. Yeah. It's the joking umbrella. Yep. So I'm going to use the mercy umbrella.
It's kind of like pardon my French.
Very much so. But I want to extend to all of our listeners, nay, even further, the idea of a grace.
To all of you who are not listening right now.
Those people who aren't listening. I mean, that covers a lot, Jerry.
Can or cannot hear us right now.
Right. Either way, I want you to know, I'd like to think that somewhere right now, someone who just said it went, I feel so graceful. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for those of you listening, you know why. You know why.
You know why.
I think we get some grace on identity ambiguity, because man, has identity become really hard these days. And there's an example I use a lot. I think globalization, there's some really good stuff that's come out of globalization. You know, I was talking with my buddy Walter, and we see Instagram posts of people who've gone to places that for us back in the day when we were traveling, you know, almost 20 years ago, some places were super hard to get to. I mean, you had to barter mm-hmm. your way in, and mm-hmm. they used to print books, physical books, Jerry. And there was the Let's Go Europe book. And ooh. That's what you used. And you could, and it would tell you how to cross borders and where to get. And so you'd be like, oh, we're going to Moldova. That's hard to get to. And you get there and it would list, you know, the 12 hostels they recommend, but everyone had this book. So everyone stayed at those 12 hostels. So there was never room. So then you get this panicky feeling as you arrived at a sketchy part of the train station at night and had nowhere to sleep. And anyway, and that was all such fun adventure that now, you know, you see people that are like, well, I headed over to Moldova for the weekend because I caught an EasyJet flight and I downloaded this app on my phone that told me how to, and I feel like you didn't earn it. Your life was never under threat. You can't post pictures of there. You didn't work for it. But as much as I joke, I'm actually really glad. I think one of the things, you know, in globalization is a foggy concept, but one of the things I love about it is we can be so much more exposed to different cultures, different ideas, and I think you learn a lot that way. So I love that. But it also has a lot of difficulties. And I think globalization, the concept, has a lot of, and I may have mentioned this before, but a lot of very contradictory things, I think, that make identity difficult. So I think under the banner of globalization, we'll hear phrases sometimes next to each other, where we'll hear things like, you know, we want to make sure and encourage borderless trade, but we also want to buy locally. And both of those are the kind of things you hear from a very globalization kind of view. They're actually kind of mutually exclusive. By buying locally, you're not really helping borderless trade. And by supporting borderless trade, you're kind of not buying locally.
Right.
The same thing, even you can extend that to all kinds of, I think even culture, you get into very, very tense arguments with culture that's opposing itself, because globalization will say things like, we need to put aside our differences and unite as a global community to fight global level problems, which sounds great. And then in the same breath, we'll say, but we also want to preserve the traditions and customs and outlooks and beliefs and language of local culture.
Right.
And those are actually two very different ideals, to put aside our differences, then also make sure and highlight our differences. So in a world that's giving us mixed messages, no wonder people are struggling with identity. And so when I'm looking for a why for this intense sort of disagreements and arguments we have, I feel like it's because we've been thrown a bunch of very confusing messages. Yeah. And we've all been knocked off our feet a little bit. Well, who am I exactly? Where do I belong? And so maybe we're scrambling a little bit to get our footing.
Well, and I love the way you're outlining that, because that's complex, right? Like, there are some complexities. There are a lot of very, very high value things, right? Like, there are things that each of us feels deeply about from different perspectives. And that's complex. When those come together and we try to do similar things, or we try to work toward the same goal, it is very complex to work through that. And I think the way that we handle disagreements, maybe we should draw the line between, because the disagreement is really not the problem, right? It's the way that we handle the disagreement. But the way we handle it is we're treating it like it's simple, right? Mm. Like it's simple. And you should just understand it the way that I understand it.
Yeah.
And if you could just do that, oh, you can't? Well, then it's on, right? Yeah. So when you treat complex things like they're simple, it's really not going to end well. But if you can just like step back, step off, and
step off.
Acknowledge, step off and acknowledge, wow, this is really hard. Like, we're probably not going to solve this today. On this call, we're not going to fix this problem that has vexed humanity for 3,000 or 4,000 years. so let's don't act like it. Let's don't act like we're going to, and let's don't get so angry because we didn't. Let's acknowledge the complexities of this and talk about the complexities and talk about the challenges that we see and how we might overcome some of the nuance and the subtleties of it. Instead of overcoming the whole thing.
Oh my goodness. It's so very true. And I think in that, I think what, you know, one of the aspects of what I think you put really well is that by trying to oversimplify it, not only do we miss the nuance, but I think sometimes we don't actually even remember what our disagreement is about. You know, I can think of a ton of examples where, you know, a disagreement has started, you know, over a topic. But in the midst of disagreeing, it becomes an argument, and that's not even necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's, you're arguing because, again, you may be, maybe you're, it's something important to both of you. That's good. But in the progress of it, you forget that within that topic, are you disagreeing about the process or about the outcome? And sometimes it's maybe the outcome versus the ethics, but sometimes maybe it's the ethics versus the intention. And all of that, the process, the outcome, the ethics, the intention, that's all wrapped up under a topic. And those are very separate things. You know, I think you can throw, oh my goodness, any number of things in here. I mean, we've talked about vaccines. Just think about the complexities of the vaccine argument, over the process. You know, is right. some people are upset over the process. Some people are upset because, you know, it hasn't been tested enough. Some people are upset on the process because some people feel we're being told to do that things that we should have the freedom to say no to. So there's process. Some people, it's the outcome. Some people, what they're arguing about is they're like, well, think of the bigger picture. You know, this is important because the outcome should be this. And some people, it's not even outcome, it's ethics. Is, you know, who has the right to do, is it right or wrong to force or to, and then there's the intention, you know, the arguments over vaccine, over, well, they're only doing this because they believe this. It's really for the best of this. And just think about all the interplay there, just on process, outcome, ethics, and intention. Mm-hmm. And so you might be vehemently defending some ethics while someone else is vehemently defending a process. But you're not really even, those are very different aspects. And I think we would learn a lot more if we could learn to separate it out. I think there's so much to be said for that very simple piece of advice, just realizing almost every disagreement is more complex than we think. And so trying to just solve it and trying to define our identity by it, you know, you kind of lose the point of a disagreement. Are you disagreeing to learn? Are you disagreeing to shift someone to your way of thinking? Or are you disagreeing because then you can help define yourself better by what you're not?
Right.
Maybe going into disagreements, knowing what on earth we intend to get out of them, would save a lot of acrimony. Because that's what it's all about, Jerry. I just want peace.
Come on, people.
This whole podcast, it's just about me. I mean, yes, complex issues, blah, blah, blah. But most importantly, please, let's just give Chris some peace. He just needs peace. Chris just wants
a strong piece of your identity. And so, you know, I might argue that your strong desire for peace is...
Step off, Jerry.
Like if I desired discord as much as you desire peace, then I would, as strongly as you promote peace, promote discord.
Oh, but isn't that the very heart of it, Jerry?
Yeah,
it is the very heart of it. See how quickly I brought that around to peace? That was
so good. Yeah. But you know, something really, really, really rich happens when you attach humanity to a disagreement, right? Mm. Which it becomes challenging when the humanity is already there. So let me explain. When you have relationship, when you have strong relationship and those, you have those identity crunching moments, it can put a strain on a good relationship, right? Mm. But many times I feel like we are disagreeing with people that we don't know, that people we don't see, we don't interact with. We actually have done a great job of separating ourselves from that entire group of people. And we're really just hanging out, like high-fiving and chest bumping each other because we came up with a great argument against these people. Right. Yeah. And we sit around and we talk about, well, those people, and it's all, like all the social media, all the very distant group of people, faceless, nameless. And when you actually sit down and have a conversation and get to know and see who this person is, like, see what their life is like and where they came from, those disagreements take on a whole different light. Like there are pieces that you understand, even if you don't agree. It's not about agreeing or disagreeing, but you begin to see some of those nuances and you can see how they arrived at that position. You can see where they came from, what were the things that happened in their life, what's the story, the narrative, the experience that they've gone through to get them there. And it can truly change your perspective. It may change your opinion, it may not, but regardless, you've humanized them and you've put humanity to the disagreement, and it really changes things. Like that's a beautiful, because then it's not about my identity, it's about your identity. And if I can pause and give as much value to your identity and your humanity as I do to mine, then something pretty beautiful happens. It doesn't mean that you win the argument or that I see things exactly your way, but that's not the point. Like, that's not what we're trying to get to. We're just learning to respect each other and engage with each other in a way that doesn't do damage.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to, you know, what does winning really look like? And maybe maybe the argument there that you're making, not argument, the good point.
I'm so arguing.
Maybe the point you're making is that, you know, is it really any winning without relationship? And and honestly, I think I want to shout out to my Brussels crew, because they have been such a good example to me. Living Brussels was one of my bases for a long time. It's still near and dear to my heart. And I've got a great community of people there from all over the place. Everyone started in a lot of different places. And we were thrown together in Brussels. And we have had so many great discussions where there has been disagreement, where we've disagreed. And sometimes it's just, you know, one person versus the rest of the group. Sometimes it's five different set of opinions. So, you know, they're all different splits. And yet it's never ended acrimoniously. And I feel like I've learned more from that group than I have from arguing with almost anybody else, because it's a safe place to argue. And because I'm secure, my identity is secure, because I know that they will still welcome me into this group, even when we disagree. Mm-hmm. And there's evidence in history to show that we have disagreed, and yet we still go out to dinner together. And right. I've watched disagreements where it does, in my mind, it looks heated, and the conflict part of me says, well, run away. But actually it looks heated, and then it still ends with, never mind, I'll just buy you a pint. And which right. I think is a great way to end it, and saying, let's just agree to disagree. And so to me, that's a very valuable setup. And I'm not saying that that's easy to establish. I feel like we get to cheat a little bit, because, you know, Brussels is a place full of a lot of people from different places. There's a lot of dynamics there that make it easier to do that. But I still think we can strive for it. We can definitely strive right. to prioritize relationship. And I think, you know, one of the ways, again, I personality test wise, I have found to throw a little plug. I'm just plugging things now, Jerry. I'm plugging the Brussels crew.
Plug it.
I'm plugging things. I have found things like, and there are tons of them out there. You don't have to even go with Enneagram, but personality type tests, sometimes the best thing that comes out of that is just an awareness that not everyone thinks like you. Mm-hmm. And that's actually really important. So, so again, for the Enneagram, my type number is 9, and I'm a peacemaker. So I avoid conflict and want peace. But in that, there's other numbers who my interaction with, this makes a lot of sense. So for instance, there's sixes who they really value security. And I bet sometimes I look like a crazy person to them, because I'll prioritize peace over security. Not that I don't value security. It's right. just that I'm sure sixes have looked at me and thought, oh my gosh, speak up about this. It's potentially dangerous. But because I prioritize peace, I'm like, oh, no, that might upset people. And I'm sure it'll be fine. And vice versa. Sixes have driven me crazy, because I'm like, why would you say that out loud? You've just upset so many people. But for them, they're like, I don't care if I broke the peace. This will make us secure. And the realization that I can't project my own system onto everybody else is huge. And I think when we think about, you know, putting humanity onto people, humanity is incredibly diverse. And not only are our priorities different, our history, our experience is different. There's so much I haven't experienced. And so it doesn't mean I can't invalidate someone else's experience. Their story brought them to where they are.
Right.
And informed their priority system. And maybe I would think the same thing if I went through the same story. And so we have different stories. And isn't the fun of life getting to hear each other's stories Absolutely. And grow and learn and add to them? And I do. I think, you know, we're not going to solve it. It doesn't mean we're going to end as much as I'd like to, Jerry. I really wish we could. I wish we could end all disagreement. But it's just not going to happen. And thank goodness.
Yeah. Because coming up next on Diesel and Clooney, we fix the world. Let's change it to unpack the world to fix
the
world.
We're no longer unpacking.
Just
listen to us. Just listen to us, world. You know, Jerry, if I had to summarize all of this, because I think...
How would you do it?
Well, Jerry, funny you should ask. Because there are nuggets strewn about everywhere. I just want to put them all in a basket so that we can, you know, so we can sample our nuggets of wisdom, tasty goodness in various sauces. But I think maybe in disagreements, bearing in mind that they might have more to do with identity than we think, is a good first step. And maybe in a disagreement, if you feel yourself getting heated or you feel yourself looking at someone who disagrees with you and thinking, you know, I just want to cast them out of my life. They're them. Maybe have a little check and think, was this disagreement? Am I using this to define myself? Because I would argue there might be better ways to define yourself than by disagreements and drawing lines, because then you stop learning. And maybe another nugget in there besides identity and our need for it is that different priorities happen. And maybe we have more in common than we think that way. You can value both security and freedom. You just may value them even in the slightest difference of ratios, but it doesn't mean it's not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean someone who doesn't think like you doesn't value what you value. They may just have another mix in there. And I think that helps us find more commonality. And maybe that's the final point. We're all common as far as being human beings. And that's worth remembering. Yeah. We have a lot to learn. The stories are connected.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would throw in there that the farther apart we are from each other, the more different we are, the more diverse we are, the more we have to learn from each other. And that's where great stuff happens. Like, this is cross-cultural 101. This is international travel stuff. This is the kind of stuff we talk about when people are getting ready to move abroad, but it has so much bearing on life wherever you are. You have a lot to learn from the people around you. And if you envision yourself going to teach them or to fix them or to change them, like if you go to try to fix traffic in India, for example, good luck with that. You're good like, luck. It's not going to happen. But if you learn, hey, this is actually a system and these people know what's going on and they all understand what you're supposed to do when this happens. Then you actually have a lot to learn, and you are a lot safer when you learn. Let's learn from each other.
And maybe that is the mega nugget sitting on a bed of smaller nuggets. The mega nugget.
Heaping
disagreements. They're okay. Nugget.
Yeah, that's right.
Disagreements are okay.
They are.
I love cutlery, Jerry. I love it. I think it's what God intended. And I'm not just saying that because in British school,
I know you wouldn't just say that.
I wouldn't just say that.
You wouldn't make something like that up.
We were taught that when you're sitting at a meal, you will always have a piece of cutlery in both hands. You always have a knife and a fork, always. And and that's ingrained in me, and so I do. I love my cutlery. I've been known to cut burgers with cutlery. I eat pizza with cutlery.
I learned something new.
It's the way to be, Jerry. But you know what? There are places I go that are not cutlery places. I'm not even talking exotic. I'm talking restaurants I go to in the U.S. where they give me a fork.
That's it.
Alone. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's okay. There are places, my gosh, I went to Ethiopia and I loved me some Ethiopian food. There was no cutlery. There's an ingenious scooping system with this bready spongy stuff. It's delightful. And you know what? It is okay. I like that there are cutlery and non-cutlery places. My preference for cutlery. It's going to be okay. This is basically my therapy session, Jerry. I just need to know it's okay to love cutlery and it's okay that there are places without it. I can still enjoy them.
Right.
It's okay to have your opinion on divisive issues, and it's okay that everyone isn't going to agree with you. We're all still going to have to move forward. Hopefully we'll learn. We'll learn.
Yep.
Good stuff. There we've done it, Jerry. Nuggets.
We did it.
Cutlery. Value systems. Identity. Yep. Globalization. Whew.
We unpacked some really good stuff there. And I genuinely say this. I don't say this flippantly, but I feel like if everyone else just saw it the way that we do.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine, Jerry?
Then problem solved, right? So the point of this podcast on disagreements
is just do as we say.
See it more like us.
See it from our perspective. Or as we like to call it, the right perspective.
That's right. You've been listening.
Been listening to Diesel and Clooney as they pretend to know what they're talking about.
That's right.
Oh, thanks for joining us, everybody. We do sincerely hope that whatever disagreements, whatever perspectives that you are confronted with, that your identity will remain secure, because identity is important. do join us again, where we'll throw out some more identity. We'll identify our next podcast in just 2 weeks' time. Who knows what we're talking about in 2 weeks' time? Because I don't. You know, we make this stuff up on the spot. So it's a mystery. Join us and find out. Join That's us right. and find out. We'll see you then.
Thanks, everyone. Over to you, Chris.
Oh, you see what you did there? Your outro matched your intro.
Bookends.
You one up to me, Jerry. You one up to me. Maybe you should just do all the intros from now on.
Deal. I've got them written.
Oh, this we're not off yet. The listeners heard that. That's the deal.
Aren't you cut? Everyone just, don't you edit this part out?
I don't know. This part's staying in. This is staying in, Jerry. Ha ha ha.